Let's open up our Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we're going to start with verse 1. And we have read this recently, and so we're going to read it again. Amen. And I want to read, I'm going to go down through the 8th verse, and then I want to go back and just kind of touch on some things that Jesus said. Very familiar verse. Jesus says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I'm in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Wow, what a great passage. I want us to talk tonight just about, I think many times we don't understand who God wants to use. And I'm going to tell you right now, God wants to use you. God wants to use you to minister to your family. God wants you to minister to loved ones that are even in your extended family. God wants to use you to minister to people at your work and your school, all over the place. God wants to use you. And many times we just think, well, you know what, I didn't go to Bible school, or I didn't go to seminary, or that, you know, that's pastor's job. And no. That's not my job. It's our job. Somebody say our job. Think about it. I'm not around your people as much as you're around your people. Does that make sense? And you have responsibility to, you know what, to let your light shine. That's what the Bible says. And then think about it for a minute. Because in the Bible is filled with all these ordinary people, say ordinary people, who, as they connect with God, do things that are extraordinary. Just ordinary people. Jesus doesn't go to, you know what, the University of Jerusalem to get his apostles. He doesn't. He just goes by most of his apostles he picked up right on the shoreline. They were rough, uneducated. Sometimes I'll drop something on the ground, you know what I mean? And you know what? It'll be something that I want to eat. And as long as it's on the ground, he knows this. Every guy knows this. If it's on the ground for less than 5 seconds, you can pick it up and eat it. Amen. See, you think what you think. I'm going to think what I think, and I'm going to keep on going with the 5-second rule, okay? So, but what I'm saying is, how many know these fishermen probably had a lot crazier rules than just that one? And God doesn't look at them and say, no, I can't use you. Matter of fact, if you study this out, If you look at like Gideon, as Gideon goes down to 10,000 men, God says, no, this is too many. Because here's what's going to happen. Even though I think at that ratio, it was like something like, I don't know what it was, 30-1 ratio or something crazy. Even at that ratio, he said, here's what's going to happen. When we win, those 10,000 guys are going to say, let me tell you what, I'm an amazing fighter. God wants you to understand, and listen to me, as God blesses you, and he wants to bless you, he wants to bless you so much that you sit there and go, you know, this has nothing to do with me. God did this. So, I want you to understand right off the bat, God wants to use you, not in a small way, in a great way. God wants to use you that through you, many, 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 many people will be blessed. What I hear God saying to us as a church, and me as a pastor of this church, get your small thinking out, because it's not what I look. I don't want you to hinder me and what I want to do through you. And if you have that small mentality, I can't move. The Bible says, in the Old Testament, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Then the New Testament, the Bible says, you know, as you have believed, so be it unto you. Amen? You know, how many know when all those sick people were being ushered out, that even the shadow of the apostles hitting them healed them? How many know there might have been someone who had a sickly disease, a horrid disease, something that the doctors at that time said, there's no way, we just send you home to die. And some of those people might have thought, well, I don't believe that. I don't want to go out and bake in the sun for 3 hours hoping Peter was going to come by and his shadow hit me and I'd be healed. Well, how many know of those people who stayed at home? How many know how many people of those people that stayed at home got healed? Give me a percentage. Zero. Listen, zero. And the Bible says in the New Testament, you know what? As you have believed, so be it unto you. Listen, I can't take a long time because I got to move on, but let's just take some passages. Take, you know what, Mark 11, 23 and 24. Assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to that mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those very things that he prays, he will have those things. So this is clear in the Word of God, and I hear God saying to us, don't limit what I want to do, because as you back up and say, no, 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 I'm just, whatever the just is, I'm just a female, I'm just, you know what, I'm just, you know what, grew up, whatever the just is, God says, are you kidding me? I like the just. First of all, I made you, and I like how I made you. But second of all, you know what, Paul says, I glory in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See? So, God wants to use us in a mighty way, and we've got to stop thinking, well, we just, the Holy Spirit has told us, the leadership, that we are not, you know, how many know it took us a long time to go from the North Sanctuary to the South Sanctuary? How many know it took us a long time? Long time. The Holy Spirit shared with me that don't get comfortable in this place. Some of you don't know that. Because he said, it won't be a long time that we're not in the next place. Come on, somebody say amen to this. And so, but how is that going to happen? It's going to happen as you start, as God is raising. See, God isn't raising, God is raising leaders up in this church. And God is raising you up. And he wants to remind you tonight. And he wants to remind you through the passage, through the scripture, what is, I mean, I'm going to show you a promise today that is, you know, there are some things that are so, you know what? They're so unbelievable. You know what the Bible calls them? A sign and a wonder. You know what a wonder is? A wonder is when you go, I wonder how that happened. Right? It's just like, well, I don't know. You know what I mean? And then, because that's a great thing, because you say, I know how it happened. It happened by God. He mean, that's how it happened. And so I'm going to show you a passage in this portion. It's absolutely just, the promise is unbelievable. But how many know we're called to believe it? So, but I want to look at some things. I just want to break this passage down because it's such an awesome passage. Let's see where I want to start. My first point is this. Let's start with my first point. Many people are posing as having power they don't have. Look at this. It's in the second verse. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Look at the second verse. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it might, listen to this, that it may bear more fruit. Go back to verse 1. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Yeah. Somebody say, God, here Jesus says, I'm the vine. Jesus says, I'm the vine. Now, the vine, we're going to look at in a minute, the vine is the power source. You know, I mean, you know this. You cut a branch off a tree, or you cut a portion off a grapevine, and that portion that you cut off will look fine for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, maybe an hour. But over a period of time, what's going to happen to that branch? Was that branch dead as soon as you cut it off? Yeah, why? Because it was cut off from the source of a life. Jesus is the source. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. So you cut that branch. Here's my point. Jesus says, I'm the vine. Yeah. It's so important that we understand this, and this is a basic principle, but it's so important we understand. Here's why. Because we've got all kinds of people out there shouting at you and saying, no. This is how you're going to, this'll work. That'll work. This'll work. Try this. You know, you just need an education. You just need a new car. You just need, you know what, you just need this self-help book and all this stuff. Listen to me, this is really important, because we have wasted so much time. How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I've wasted so much time barking up the wrong tree. The wrong, you know what, drugs and sex and alcohol and gossip and you know what, and social media, and you know what, how many likes do I have, and all this stupid stuff. And God says, no. God says, just a very basic principle. Jesus, hey, whoa, wait, I'm your source. I'm the one. Exactly. I'm the one who's really going to help you in your life. Right. Number one, we've got to understand Jesus is the true vine. Yes. Amen. Um, My second point is this. God is tough because he wants you to be not useful. He wants you to be very useful. Somebody say very useful. So look at this passage in Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with the text in John? It has everything to do with it. Here's why. God, the Bible says, he's going to prune you so you will produce much fruit. Somebody say much fruit. God's going to prune you that you, why? Here's why. Because God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God, all these people that are outside of the body of Christ, God wants to get them inside. Amen. And so listen to me. So you know, how many ever gone on the freeway and somebody's gone on the freeway and somebody's driving like 45 miles an hour? How many ever been behind those people who are driving 45 miles an hour? Okay. Well, before, listen. You know what? As you measure it out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you. So you watch it. But is that not irritating? You're like, man, what in the world is, you know what? Come on, let's, because you're thinking, man, I got to go somewhere. I got things to do. I got stuff to do. Listen, God is like, hey, Bucky, stop going 45. There's people around you that, listen to me, there's people around you. Oh, can I tell the truth to somebody? Can I tell the truth to somebody? There's people around you that are hindered by your trashy, gossipy, complainy mouth. So, he's going to tell you in all kinds of ways to shutteth thou mouthith uppeth. Stop it. Here's why. Because he is tired of your actions hindering. He's tired of getting behind you and you're only going 45 miles an hour. And we've got to be, and so what he's going to do is he's going to, in the spirit, you know what, get behind your 45 mile an hour car and start pushing it. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Watch this, all eyes up here. Whoa, you know, hey, stop it, God. You're making me uncomfortable. I'm going to go 45. And he's saying, no, 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 guys, enough with the 45. Enough with the slow pace of your Christianity. Enough with you not being an example. And what's going on? There's this pruning going on. There's this, why? Because your character is, listen, it doesn't make any, praise God. You know what? We have somebody in the back, grab me quickly, Angel. Grab me one of those black cards back there quickly and bring that up to me. So I got one here. I got one here. Oh, look. See, here's the thing. How many know these cards are sharp? Listen, how many believe for Easter we're going to have a big catch for Easter? Somebody say big catch. I want you to take a bunch of these cards. I want you to start, you know what, don't wait till the week before. Start inviting people to church. Amen? And be ready, and don't just tell them about your church. Tell them about your church and give them a card. Yeah. Amen. And these cards are nice. They got a cool design. They got information on the back. I mean, you just look at this card. Wow, what church is this? A styling church, man. But how many know they're not going to look at this card? How many know your character trumps a good-looking card? Amen. Amen. And so, you know what? I don't like you always, you know, talk about tithing and be not being selfish and money. You talk about, I've had people tell me, you talk about money too much. Well, you know, so be it. We need to understand that our actions are who we are. Our actions are who we are. That's who you are. And God says, has the integrity to look at you and say, and can I tell you about God? God really doesn't. God really doesn't care what you think. Can somebody say amen to this? Well, you know, if you like it, you know, then I'll prune. See, that's we have developed this Christianity, and this Christianity is, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll go to that church if I like it. I'll go to that church as long as the pastor doesn't say anything and get me upset. I'll go to the church and, you well, no, he got upset. He said something about it. And that's the eighth time. And you know what? In 4 months, you told me to tithe. I've had it. You know, I'm not just leaving. Or whatever it is. Or told me to forgive. Whatever it is. God doesn't care. Why? Here's why. Because you're going 45 miles an hour.
That's right. Come on.
And it's hindering the pace that he wants to go. Why? Because you know what? He loves these people that are sinners.
That's right.
Aren't you glad that God loved you when you were an ugly thing? Amen? Come on, somebody say amen. Can we say amen to this?
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Is somebody glad in the house that God wasn't waiting for you to get it all together? No, he said, no, I love you. The fact that you don't have it together. And that same love he has for people. And how many know these people, they're not opening up Romans and finding this out?
That's right.
How many know they're not opening up Romans and finding this out? One of the main ways they're going to find it out is by looking at your behavior and saying, oh my goodness, by seeing your good works, the Bible says they will glorify my Father in heaven. What is that all about? That's all about you going to get some pruning. Amen? And so he prunes here and he prunes there and it hurts a little bit. And you know what? And okay, that's how it is. You know? I went and worked out with my son the other day. And it's kind of cool to work out with my son because my son does exercises I'm not used to doing. You know what I mean? Hello? I mean, I got a whole routine of stuff that I do, but he does different stuff. And so we're going, and he says, "Dad, we're gonna do back and shoulders today." I'm on back and shoulders. I really never did back and shoulders. Back and shoulders. Okay, we're doing back and shoulders. And so, and we're doing all these exercises I've never even done before. You know what I mean? And so, you know, the next day I was like, back and shoulders, huh? What's up with back and shoulders? But it was so interesting. But that was the next day. But then the day after that, I was walking and I could feel me just walking way more straight. And I knew, I was like, yeah, back and shoulders, man. I like back and shoulders. I mean, no, I wasn't thinking that the day after. I was thinking back and shoulders. What's up with that? Amen? What I'm saying is, listen, don't resist God as he's pruning you. Don't turn around. Because how many know the Bible says we can grieve the Holy Spirit? You know, so he's pushing you on the freeway, and you feel it, and you feel like the, hey. Listen, no. You thank him for pushing you. You recognize what he's doing is he's not only loving you, but he really wants to get you in a place where you can be a real character witness of the love of Jesus Christ to other people. Amen? Amen? Amen. Oh, how many know this is good? How many receive that today? How many know if all you get was that message, that's a good message for tonight. Amen? How many receive that by faith? Man, God, help us. Help us not to resist your pruning. Amen. My third point is this. Listen to this. Without God, you know what you are? Without God, you know what you are? Useless. That's what the Bible says. Look. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can't do it. It ain't going to happen unless it abides in the vine. Look at your neighbor and say, unless you abide in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do what? Nothing. Without God, you are not you can't do very much. No, you can't do anything. That's right, Pastor, that sounds pretty negative. Well, how many know it's good to know the truth? Amen. You know, the Bible says pride comes before the fall. You know, oh, I'm all that in a bag of chips. You ain't even the bag, amen, let alone the chips. You ain't nothing. You're not even the spices on the barbecue chip, amen. You ain't nothing. Okay? Amen. How many know? Yeah, you're not even, you ever get done with the bag of chips and Cheetos and you open up the bag and you have all the crumbs here. It's like, I mean, that's the best. You ain't none of that. You can do nothing. Somebody say nothing. No, you just, you know what? Without God, you know what? You're useless. I know that sounds negative, but that's just the truth. My fourth point is this. Separated from God, people dry up. Listen to me. Separated from God, people, you know what they do? They dry up. Look at the sixth verse. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out. If anybody does not abide in me, he is cast out as branches and is withered, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire. If anyone doesn't abide in me, you know what's going to happen? You get withered. You dry up. I've told you this. I'm so glad you're here on Wednesday. We don't come to church Sunday. We come to church on Sunday and Wednesday. I don't know where you're at. We have two services on purpose. Why? Because we want you to sit and serve. You know what? I want you to be part. I want you to be right here. I've told so many people, you know what? Who gets devoured by the enemy? You know, the Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and to devour. Who gets destroyed and devoured by the enemy? Who does that? What sheep do that? I tell you what sheep do that. The sheep that are far from the shepherd. Amen. And I, you know, I will say this all day long. I'm not against anybody. If you strolled in here and you come once a month, I'm here to love you and tell you, hey, come four times a month. Come eight times a month. Amen. Get in Academy of Righteousness. Get close to your shepherd. Get close to your shepherd. I understand. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is my shepherd. Hallelujah. You're not my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah, right back to you. Amen. Because Jesus has assigned Tamar and I as under-shepherds. And listen, and I didn't do that. Jesus did that. But you're going to circumvent the system and get religious and start to tell me about how Jesus is your shepherd. Like you know, yeah, duh, of course he is. But God is the one who exactly leads you to a house. Amen. And he connects you with under-shepherds. Here's why. Because he knows. Listen, it is God's plan. The preaching of the gospel is revelation knowledge that you and I can grow up in the things of God. I am as amazed that he uses me as anyone is amazed. But I'm going to say this to you and say it unapologetically. You know what? If I don't uphold and understand the value of my position, how in the world are you going to? And I'm just telling you, we live in a society, and it's just like, hey, I'm all listen to, you know, I can listen to this teaching on the radio, I can listen to this podcast, I can, you know what I mean, all this, I can read my Bible myself, boom, boom, I don't, all this non-connection. Can I tell you why non-connection happens in the church? This is deep. Because ultimately, people don't want to be accountable. That's what it's really about. Amen. See, Ernie just gonna flow it in here and flow it out and flow it in here and flow it out. I'm gonna say, Ernie, what's up, dude? Amen. And how am I know? That's not a bad thing. But see, Ernie, I know his number. I text Ernie. He's accountable to me. Does that make sense? That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Amen? Amen? You want to be accountable to me? Come up after the service and give me your phone number. Amen? And let you be part of my text list. Amen? And if you come here regularly and you're not part of that list, hey, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get it together, amen? And we're doing a lot better job of shepherding than we ever have been doing in this church. But listen, that's just not on me. Don't get all pepsi. You know, how come Pastor texts Ernie, but he doesn't pastor me? Come on, man. Don't leave mad. Come up here, give me your phone number. I'll put it on my phone. Okay, I don't want any girls coming up here giving me your phone number because I don't, I ain't going to take it. Amen? Amen? I already got one girl's phone number. I like it, you know, a lot. Amen? I got Tamara's number. Praise the Lord. Can somebody say amen to this? But what I'm saying is, you know what? We have to understand that God wants us to be useful. And to be useful, we have to be connected to the source, and God uses under-shepherds as part of his plan. Doesn't mean I'm more special than you. Doesn't mean that you can't open your Bible and get revelation out of the Word of God, and you should. But you know what? These people who think, oh, I don't have to. Paul says this. Paul says, you have many teachers, but you don't have many fathers. That's God who does that. That's God who does that. Are you learning something? Oh, yeah. But if you separate yourself out, you're going to dry up. That's right. Has anybody known anybody who used to be on fire for Christ? Oh, and you know what? And they ain't doing jack diddly anymore. Come on, I'm asking. They aren't doing nothing. They don't give. They don't serve. You know, you see them. They're out there. They got a shiny car because they wax their car every Sunday. But they got nothing else going on. Let me tell you what, they're dried up because they separated themselves out. And just like that vine, you separate yourself out and you just look and it might say, everything might seem okay in your life for a while, but very quickly that thing's going to dry up. And you know what? And what happens? That branch, you know what? You ever, I mean, there's nothing, it produces nothing. There's no fruit on that tree. God doesn't want you like that. He says, no, no, stay close to me. Stay close to your spiritual fathers. And watch what'll happen. You'll produce. You'll be functioning. You'll look at your branch and it'll be full of all this awesome fruit. Like, wow. Man, Pastor, you know what? Ever since I started going to your church and being faithful to come every Sunday and Wednesday and just really, you know what, just really allow you to teach me, man, there's a lot of cool things going on in my life. Yeah, it's called fruit, Jackson.
Oh, there it is.
Amen. Amen. My fifth point. God intends for us to live a power life. A power life. What is that? That's a life. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me. Oh, this is the verse that's just unbelievable. But it's in the Word of God, so we need to believe it. If you abide in me. See, you can't do this separate from God. And my words abide in you. That's such a critical. Underline that in your Bible.
Yeah.
And my words abide in you. Oh, yes, I love God. I love God. I love God. But you know what? But I talk trash. Well, it ain't going to happen. And my words abide in you. You will ask whatever you desire, and it will be done for you. Listen, hang out with me. Hang out with me. And I guarantee you, if you start to speak a bunch of junk, bunch of negative stuff. Well, you know what, Dad? You know, the doctor said this. And you know, after all, Pastor, you know what? You're getting up there, and you're probably going to start to have back problems and all kind of problems. Oh, Jackson, I won't let you talk of that trash over me. No, I won't. I mean, you know, if I don't know you very well, I'll just under my mouth say, I'll go, that ain't happening to me. But if I know you well enough, I'm going to say, hey, do me a favor. Don't curse me. Don't curse me. From your mouth should not come blessings and cursings. So get it together and stop it. See, no. Your life, you are designed to be connected with Jesus and connected with his words. What did he say? He said, with me all things are possible. He said, greater is he that's inside you than he that's in the world. He said, he'll make your enemies, you know what, be a blessing before you. Oh, yeah. See, that's what I want to say. You know, and what does he say to his problem? Well, after all, Pastor, you never know what God's going to do. See, where'd you get that? Why are you saying that? Why are you talking like that? Because let me tell you why. Because you listened to a bunch of goofballs. Robert, I'm smiling, aren't I? A bunch of goofballs who don't know the word. And you listen. And so watch this. You're not really abiding in God. And his words aren't in you. Your goofball friend's words are in you. And don't be deceived. The earth, the heavens are the Lord, but the earths were given to the sons of men. You have been made in the image of God, and you were designed to take dominion on the earth. That's what you were designed to do. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And if his words are in you, then you're going to start speaking life to your family. You're going to start speaking life to your body. You're going to start speaking life to Pico Rivera. You're going to start speaking life to your nation. You're going to start speaking life to all kinds of things around you, because that's what God did. You look at Jesus. Jesus went around. You know, the Bible says he went around doing good. And you start listening to what Jesus said. Jesus said at this point, I got a lot of things that I can think and I got a lot of opinions, but nothing, I'm not going to say nothing except it's said to me by my Father. Amen. See, we way underestimate what's going on here. And it's interesting to me that God says, no, this isn't just about abiding. How many know details matter in the things of God? And so he says, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't just about you hanging out with me and me hanging out with you. That is important. But you need to hang out with me, and my words need to be in you. You know Joshua. Joshua 1:8. What's Joshua 1:8 say? Joshua 1:8, look at it quickly. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for the people you, for this people you should shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, and that you might observe to do according to all the law which Moses, your servant, commanded you. Do not turn it from it, from the right or to the left, that you might prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you might observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Do not allow this word to depart from your mouth. Your words ought to be, God's words ought to be on your mouth all the time. You ought to know God's word, and you ought to speak God's word. And if you abide in God and my words abide in you, then what you're going to do is you're going to ask and it's going to happen. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So you are here to make a difference. You are here to, you know what? You have got to recognize that your words, that you can't just speak, oh, I you know what? No, no, no. You be conscious that tonight you're going to bless your family. You know what? So many people, all they do is speak the circumstances. Man, it's dark. Man, it's dark. Man, it's dark. It's dark. It's dark. It's dark. That's not what God does. God speaks the things that are not as though they were. That's what he does. So is abiding in God important? Absolutely. But his word isn't supposed to depart out of your mouth. You're going to meditate on it. Why are you meditating on day and night? Day and night, day and night, day and night. You ever been around somebody who always says, dude? Hey, dude. 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 Next thing you know, 4 weeks later, you come up to somebody and you know what you say? Hey, dude. Like, where did that come from? You know what it came from? You were meditating on what they said day and night. And the same thing will happen. You start meditating on the Word of God day and night. You start reading a chapter a day, and you start thinking about it and thinking about what God said all the day. And the next thing you know what? You know what? Someone will come up to you and say, hey. And you'll say, no, no, no. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's just going to come out. Amen. How many know God calls you to do great things? Amen. How many receive this? How many know God is calling us to a greater commitment to him? If this message has meant something to you, if God has encouraged you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Father, you see the hands up. I thank you that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a love, joy, a sound mind. I thank you that we are learning, you know what, how to abide in you and you're abiding in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.